Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jim Trotter, the NFL Network, joining us here on Radio Row as we sit down and kind of chat a little bit about this game and so much more. How you been?
I've been tremendous. Thank you.
How much of this are you doing? You just booked all day or what?
No, just an hour today on Radio Row.
That's not bad.
No. I got in Sunday night, had a couple of stories I was working on, one on Ndamukong Suh, one on Brian Flores. Got those, finished the last one actually this morning at 1:30. Doing a little TV, doing some Radio Row, and then we've got Hall of Fame voting on Saturday, so I'm getting prepared for that as well. I'm going to present Pat Bowlen to the room, also help present Tom Flores.
Okay.
So just want to be prepared.
I want to ask you, because I know he's already been eliminated from this year, but Roy Butler, we work with, and we talk about it all the time. I was sitting in New York on Radio Row years ago, and Ronnie Lott walks in and walks up and starts talking about the wherewithal of Leroy Butler and saying why he's not here. I have no idea. He's one of us.
I've been asking that question.
Really? Myself. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're a proponent of Leroy.
Absolutely. I mean, when I say that, too, people need to understand I'm not just talking about saying he should go in ahead of someone. I'm saying he should be in the room for discussion. He should have that opportunity. And I do believe that Butler is deserving of that. And I do think one day that time will come where he will be in the room for discussion. But, no, there's no question that he was an incredible player. The problem is, as you know, there are so many incredible players.
Right.
And I always say to people, okay, if you're going to put one in, who are you taking out? And, you know, that becomes a difficult exercise for them. So I think Butler will at some point be discussed, and I do think one day he will wind up in Canton. I just don't know when.
Is it going to be more of a veteran? Because he's only got so many years left, right?
Right. Yeah. So, and that's what I'm saying to you.
Yeah.
If it's not as a modern era candidate, then I think definitely one day as a senior candidate, it waits for him.
Why did it take Jerry Kramer so long?
I don't know. I mean, I've been on the committee 13 years, so I can't speak to what went on when he was initially eligible.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm being as honest with you as
no,
I can.
It's legit. I just I find it fascinating. We just had Morton Anderson on. He was talking about all the percentages of guys that can be there and should be there. And he said, and then you start to take the guaranteed guys.
Right.
And then he said, now who are you eliminating? You know, and he went through the same thing.
Well, this is what drives me nuts, you know, to be as candid as I can be. For instance, this year. So every year you hear who the new first-year eligible candidates are. And right away people say, oh, you got three locks this year. You got Ed Reed, you got Tony Gonzalez, and you got Champ Bailey. And I said, hold on a minute here. Are we just now discounting all of those finalists from a year ago, some of whom came very close to getting in? And I'm not saying that those three individuals are not Hall of Famers. They are. And they all deserve to be in Canton. But so do all those other finalists who have been waiting to get in. So let's get in the room, let's have the discussion, and then we'll see what happens. Now, me personally, I say Ed Reed was so far superior, in my opinion, to anyone who played that position during his generation that he's a no-brainer in my mind. Tony Gonzalez, again, he's one of those guys.
Changed the position.
Well, see, that's where I take a little exception, because I ask this question. Have we forgotten about Kellen Winslow, who did many of the same things that Tony Gonzalez is doing in the Air Coryell offense?
Right.
So when we look at that, I say those are two first ballot guys in my mind, no question. And then you say, okay, Champ Bailey, who I think is a Hall of Famer. But then I say Ty Law also was an incredible player. His numbers are similar or better than Champ's, and he played fewer seasons. He has more rings.
Yeah.
So how do you choose one or elevate one over the other? And that's the discussion that you have. And different people feel different ways. But that's why I say when you say first ballot guy, it's almost like you're disrespecting other players who don't get in, and that's what bothers me, because ultimately when you get in, they don't introduce you as
first ballot guy.
Exactly. They introduce you as Hall of Famer. And Terrell Davis and I were talking about this the other day, and I said, TD, does it bother you? Do you feel any less of a Hall of Famer because you weren't first ballot? And he said, no.
Right.
I've got a gold jacket.
That's all that matters.
I'm a Hall of Famer.
Right.
Ask Jerry Kramer today how he feels.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I'm sure he would have loved to have gone in earlier.
Yeah.
But he is now a Hall of Famer. You know, there is no, there are no attachments or asterisks.
Right.
He is a Hall of Famer, period.
Talking with Jim Trotter of the NFL Network. We know, obviously, Favre was a lock. I mean, he just, he is what he is. Is Rodgers?
I think he will be, yeah.
Still has more to do?
I don't know there's so much that he has more to do. You just want to see what the rest of his legacy is going to be.
Yeah.
But there's no question Aaron Rodgers is, man, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of my generation that I've seen. But this comes down to, again, so let's say, and I'm just hypothetical.
No, throw it out there. Go ahead.
Let's say all of a sudden you had Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, I don't know.
Drew Brees.
Say they all were first ballot guys
in
the first year.
Everybody walks away at the same time.
Yeah, then what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, you can only put five modern era guys in. So who's going in?
Right.
And that would be a fascinating discussion.
And that would be because we look at the quarterback so heavily, but you say you get a couple of really high profile defensive players
that's
or offensive players
absolutely.
Alongside of them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's why it's hard when people say, is he a Hall of Famer? Yeah, someone I believe is a Hall of Famer. But now tell me who else is in that class that they're going up against,
right.
You know, in the vote.
What did you find fascinating about the Packers this year? What intrigued you?
What intrigued me more than anything, to be perfectly frank, was just sort of the dynamic of the Mike McCarthy Aaron Rodgers relationship and the question of whether or not a coach's voice gets lost over time. And I go back, I say that to say when I think of Pat Riley and he talked about you have a 10-year window before players start tuning you out. And I know in the NFL they turn over rosters more than any other sport, but I started to wonder if Mike's voice was still being heard, still resonating with the players. And I've not talked to Mike or the guys to make any sort of judgment on that.
Right.
But it just from afar, that's what it made me wonder. The other thing with the Packers that, excuse me, in my opinion, to be quite frank, I look back on and say, man, there were some lost opportunities. You know, and sometimes not through any fault of their own, where there was a controversial play at the end or some incredible play is made at the end of a game, of a playoff game. But to me, with Aaron Rodgers and the talent that they've had, I would have anticipated they would have more than one Super Bowl.
Talking with Jim Trotter of the NFL Network, a lot of guys talking around here. Some guys don't want to say it on the air, but they say they don't know what that dynamic's going to be with a young coach, a guy that's very coming out of the Shanahan organization, very precise. Then you've got a guy who's very improv. This is either going to really work well, or this is going to be a quick implosion.
Well, look, I mean, I'll be candid with you. I think it's going to be a struggle. Because, and I also asked this question. I'm still curious as to what Matt LaFleur did to deserve that job at this moment. When I look at his offense in Tennessee, that offense only got untracked when they went back to that running game and Mike Vrabel said, we're going to run the ball. That's our identity. Prior to that, just because you have a tie to a coach who is doing well, meaning Sean McVay, does not mean that you are the next Sean McVay. And I'm not saying that he presents himself it that way.
Right.
But I think this is what bothers me about owners and how they hire coaches now. I don't think owners know what they're looking for in a coach. They, to me, as I see it, a coach is sort of a CEO. He is a leader. He is a delegator. He is someone who must manage games and manage people. He must be able to instill discipline. He must be able to motivate. He must be able to handle the non-football stuff that comes with the job. It is not simply about X's and O's. And I don't think that owners know or accept that that's more important than simply saying, I have an offensive guy who I think can get my quarterback right. I'm not with that. And then when you also essentially eliminate half of the candidates pool beforehand saying, I want an offensive guy, I want an offensive coordinator, Tony Dungy wasn't an offensive guy. Mike Tomlin wasn't an offensive guy. You know, Anthony Lynn wasn't a quarterback's guy. So why are you limiting your options? Why wouldn't you look for the best candidate to lead your team? And I don't think that owners do that. And that's why we have 7 or 8 head coaching changes every year. There's a reason for that.
Jim, great talking to you, man. It should be a fun weekend as you get into the Hall of Fame voting. And I love reading your stuff on NFL.com and with the NFL Network. Appreciate it.
I appreciate
it very much.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.